started this series talking about the Holy Bible and God, you know, how important it is to get into God's Word and read it, study it, memorize it. And last week we talked about running the race. Oh, I did forget my glasses. Jordan, can you grab my glasses? I wonder I can't see. Okay. So my memory is gone. Okay. So, and I mentioned, I talked a little bit about the Patriots and how I cheer against them. But to no avail, they won again. So we got one more chance to cheer against the Patriots. Thanks, Jared. I got new glasses. I got bifocals, so I got to try these out. Oh, boy. All right. Now I know why I don't have bifocals. I can't get used to that. Okay. So today, we're going to talk about what lies ahead. And Jordan read from Philippians 3. Paul writes about succeeding in life. You know, today there are many people who talk about being successful in life. And if you go to the bookstore, it's full of books about success. You can Google the books about success. You probably come up with hundreds and thousands of copies about how to be successful. The funny thing is, these people probably have not been successful at much in life. They're writing a book. Not all of them. Some of them have. But I think we need to model our lives after somebody who has success in the direction we want to go. And so my question to you is, what's the first book that comes up on the list? If you Google books about success, what do you think is the first book that comes up? Anybody? Where'd Phil go? Phil, can you click onto the next screen? Bible. Who's that Bible? Hey, that's a good guess. But no, that's not the right answer. Seriously, click on the next screen, Phil. Oh, not that one. The one after the Bible. Sorry. Oh, we got messed up because my PowerPoint got messed up. The next one? We got the other book title. There. That's the book that comes up. If you want to be successful in life, Purple Cow. You can order it for $11.80 on Amazon. But I recommend you go with Mike's word, the Bible, God's word, the Bible, the Holy Bible. That is truly how to be successful. Now, this one might get you success in the world's eyes, but if you want success that includes joy, love, peace, mercy, grace, and eternity, get the Holy Bible. Our money is on that. That must be your choice. It's truly a guidebook for successful Christian living and the joy that it can bring. So many people, you know, they often look to the next book. Okay, what can fulfill my life? If I go to the bookstore, what book is there that I could grab? And they don't often grab the Bible, unfortunately, even though it's been the number one seller across the nation forever, the Bible. But people are still looking to other books to find the answer. Someone once said, we learn much more about success from models than we do from manuals. And that's by example. And one of the greatest examples, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. But another great example is Paul. And we read from one of his letters today, the letter to the Philippians. And Paul is an incredible man. He lived life to the fullest. He lived life for God. His life counted. He ran it to the end for God. Philippians 3:17 says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Don't get distracted. Don't start looking at the world and say, oh, wow, they're so successful. I want to be successful like they are. No, we need to look back at Christ and men like Paul and see his example. What is success in God's eyes? What is success in your eyes? Are you in line with what God would have for your life, for choosing success? Today's scripture, Paul talks about successful living, and the first thing that really comes to mind is facing our shortcomings. You know, as I have grown closer to the Lord, I realize how many struggles I've come through and how many mistakes I've made in life, and shortcomings, inadequacies, weaknesses. You know, I could stand up here and say, wow, look how far I've come, you know, wow, I'm a pastor, but in reality, look how far I have to go. Look how far I have to go. I've not reached the goal. I'm on a journey. We've talked about this, running the race well. Paul was aware of this, and he felt the same way. He had not reached his final destination. Successful Christian living begins with looking at your shortcomings, facing your faults, being honest with yourself. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 28, people who conceal their sins will not prosper, but if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Who doesn't want to receive mercy? Mercy is not getting what you deserve. You deserve death. You deserve eternal separation from God. But because of mercy, we can have eternity in heaven. Be honest with yourself. Face your shortcomings. Realize that you and I were a work in progress. What is it Mark Bowen said when he was here? I'm a recovering fool. We all are. We've done foolish things in life. And we need to recover. We need to move forward. We need to face up to our shortcomings. We're unfinished clay vessels. You know, in Isaiah 29, it talks about that. How foolish can you be? He is the potter, and he is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say of the one who made it, he didn't make me? Should we say to God, you don't know what you're doing. We don't need to follow you, or you made me, but now I'm on my own. I know better. I know better than you do what's important. I don't need your guidebook. Face up to your shortcomings and realize who your creator is. Point two is let go of the past. Many of us will dwell on the past. It drags us down. We've all made mistakes. We've got to get past it. We need to forget about some of those things that we've been forgiven of. That we need to move past and just let them be a distant memory, not something that we replay over and over again. Philippians 3:13. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You know, if we're focused on the past, it's hard for us to focus on the future, on what's important, on what God wants us to focus on and move towards, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. God wants us to do that. He's not going us to waste our time dwelling on the past. Replay something. Oh, I should have done this, or I could have done this better, or I wish I would have not sinned, or I wish I would have not I wish I have not missed the opportunity to talk to somebody about God. You know, we waste opportunities. God gives us many opportunities in life. Let's not be wasting them. Let's not dwell on the past. Yesterday's gone. Dwell on the present and the future. Focus on what's ahead. Let go of guilt, grief, and grudges. Maybe you need to apologize first. Maybe you're so impacted by the sin and you haven't apologized in order to move past it. It's so easy to dwell on something if you haven't apologized for that. You shouldn't move past it. You should go apologize and then receive forgiveness and the freedom that comes with that. Let go of the past. Isaiah, before I get to that, a preacher once said, success involves learning to forget. I thought that was a good quote. Isaiah says in Isaiah 43:18, now this is the Message version, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. I appreciate the Message at times. Sometimes it's a little wordy, but sometimes it really just lays it out there and it's like, yeah, that's so true. It is true that as humans, we have great memories and we want to linger on the past and remember things for a whole lifetime, whether it's remembering what somebody did against you or remembering what you did wrong against somebody else. We have these memories. It's hard to move past them. So the question is, how do you move past those thoughts and memories? How do you put that behind you? All that stuff that's happened to me or that I've done wrong. Don't let the past control you. Don't let it have power to manipulate you. Learning from the past without dwelling on the past. Learn from it and move forward and be better because of it. Don't dwell on it. There's a huge difference between letting go and holding on, and it's hard to be in the middle. Let go, move on. Let go of the past and don't dwell on it. We tend to remember things and things that we should forget. And we often forget things that we should remember. It's what's that called? So it's a problem. That's what it is. It's a problem. Okay. Don't hold on to bad memories. Hold on to the good memories and move forward. Here are two things that from our past that we have to deal with. First of all, we have to deal with failures. Now, rest assured, I've had plenty of failures. If you want to talk to my wife afterwards, I'm sure she has a great memory about all my failures. I remember back in college days, English class, we were told to write this paper. And it was the first assignment of the year. And I got to class the day after we handed those assignments in. And the professor stopped me and said, hey, Eric, is it okay if we talk about your paper today in class? Wow, oh yeah, sure, go ahead. So I was feeling pretty good until he started to chop it up and say how bad it was. And it was completely terrible, I'm sure. And I deserved that, and I probably shouldn't have agreed to letting him talk about it in class. If I would have had any clue, I wouldn't have. But that's one failure. I can't write a paper very well, but many other failures, sin and anger, bitterness. What failures do you have in life? What do you need to let go of? What memories are you hanging on to in that arena? In 1 John it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God can cleanse us. He can cleanse our mind. He can let us move forward. He can free us up so that we can live in that peace and joy that is incomprehensible when you're stuck in the mud, when you're stuck in the memories and the grime of failures and life before forgiveness. God has forgiven us, but we often don't forgive ourselves. We need to move forward. We have made failures. It's good to face up to that. It's good to understand that we have failures, but we need to move forward. Paul said, I have learned from the past, and it makes me a better person in the present. It can make you a better person. Failures can make you a better person if you move forward. If you learn from those mistakes. He didn't sit around beating himself up, or have a pity party. Truth is, everybody has blown it at some point. Something that we regret. Some skeletons in our closet that, like, we wish would have never happened. Most likely everybody's had that. The second thing we need to deal with is our success. We've already dealt with failures. Now let's deal with our success. Learn from them also. Don't let them hold you back. You know, sometimes we focus on our success and we think we've arrived. Like, kind of like the attitude like I had when the college professor said, "Can we talk about your paper?" I thought, okay, I don't need this class. I've arrived. All right. He wants to show how good I was, but not at all. But if you do have success, it's easy for you to just rest on your laurels. It's hard to work hard, to keep getting better, to be a better person. We start to think, I've got it made. I have done so much. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to slow me down now. But the good old days might not be enough to meet the needs of today. We need to keep being better. We need to strive to be better people, to be better Christians. Luke 9:62 says, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." Now, any farmers out there, if you're, let's say you don't have GPS. Okay, you're plowing a field and you're texting. Okay, what would your rows look like? They wouldn't be so good anymore, would they? Well, the same thing back in the day when your handheld plow, right? And you look back, I mean, it wouldn't be too good. And only farmers know how bad it is to have crooked rows, right? We can't appreciate that as much as you can appreciate that. It reminds me of a story. Pastor Peter used to be here. He left to go to Wisconsin for some reason. Anyway, I'm still mad about that. No, I'm not. But his car broke down in Alvarado. And he asked me to tow him back to town so he could get it fixed. And I've told you this story, but it applies. So we get over there, and there's no tow hook on the front of his car. Well, what are we going to do? He said, "Well, we'll just tow it backwards. All the way to Warren?" I said, "Well, if you want to," I said, "I'm in the front vehicle. You go ahead." So we hook on and we tow the car backwards. I'm doing about 40 miles an hour and I look in my mirror and Peter's facing backwards in his car. And you know, how would it be? Yeah, he's like this. And anyway, so he's on the phone with me. So we can, at least we can communicate, right? And I see this car come flying up behind him, and I'm like, "Whoa, look out." And what? And all of a sudden, he looks behind, you know, he looks out the front windshield of his car, and he's swerving. And I thought, I better not say any more after that. I thought I was going to lose him that into the ditch. Anyway, yeah, that's... So he was looking, he wasn't going backwards. He was going backwards. He was throwing him backwards. He wasn't driving his car, is what I meant to say, but he was steering. You can't drive a car looking only in the rearview mirror. That's the moral of the story for some reason. I don't know. Anyway, you have to look ahead. If you're always looking in the past, then you're not going to be able to steer well. You're not going to stay on the road. You're not going to be following the right direction in life. God has greater things in store for you. Don't be content with good or better. Strive for the best. Focus on the future. Okay. From our scripture reading today, let me repeat what Jordan read. "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Press on. The Message Bible says it this way. Friends, don't get me wrong. By no means do I count myself an expert in all of this. But I've got my eye on the goal where God is beckoning us onward to Jesus. I'm off and running, and I'm not turning back. Is that you? Does that describe you? Are you off and running? Not turning back. Pressing on. Successful people strive for a goal. They're goal-oriented. Paul was goal-oriented. Are you goal-oriented? He was single-minded. He had a priority to glorify God, to follow Jesus. Is that true in your life? Do you feel like you're goal-oriented? Are you focused on the prize, on eternity, and on bringing glory to God here on earth? Paul says that a successful Christian life is goal-oriented and single-focused. Our goal should be to please God and glorify Him. Our goal is to please Jesus Christ and God. Whether we live in the body or move out of it, our goal is to be pleasing to Him, it says. Number four, we are in a spiritual battle. Fight to win. And like last week, run the race to win. Run to win. Don't be in a race to just do okay. Don't be in the Christian race, the Christian life, just to do okay. I'm going to go to church today, but I'm not really into it. I'm not going to listen unless he tells a funny story. Are you running the race to win? I press on toward the goal for the prize. That's what we should be doing. Emphasis on the word press. It means to pursue as a hunter would pursue its prey. Paul had determination. He was persistent. He had commitment. He gave his life to the cause, to Jesus Christ and the Christian life. He was fighting to win. Successful people in this life are just ordinary people that are determined. We're all ordinary people. Let's be determined. Let's be successful. We can all do it. You know, Winston Churchill, I used to think he said, never, never, never give up. He didn't. He said, never give in. But I like give up better. Never, never, never give up. That's what we should do as Christians. Never, never, never give up the race. Don't give up. If you're attempting to read through the Bible this year, keep persisting. Okay, you're going to miss a day maybe here or there. But catch up. Be determined. Be persistent. Be successful. As Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finish the race. Be strong in your faith. Keep moving forward. Perhaps some of you are thinking of giving up. Maybe you're thinking of quitting something, your job, your marriage, your relationship with a family or something. Don't do it. Never, never, never give up. Don't give in. Be determined to make it work. Use God's guidebook to help you make it happen, to help you make it work. Paul said, I'm never going to quit. No matter what happens, I'll never give up. I want God's best for my life, and I'm going to complete what He's called me to do. What has He called you to do? Are you giving up? Are you giving in? Get back on the right track. Get on the racetrack. Run the race. Finish the race. Be strong. Be determined. And have Paul as a role model, along with Jesus Christ, of course. But have some godly men as role models godly women as role models. There's many to look at. Don't look at the world and say, wow, I want to be successful and I don't care about the Christian life anymore. Because it looks like they're so happy, but they're not. They probably want what you have. They want meaning in life. They want to run the race different than what track they're on, but they don't know how to get off it. Don't follow into their race. Don't pursue what they are pursuing. Philippians 1:6, and I am certain that God, who began the good work in you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God is doing a work in our lives. While we run the race, he's at work in our lives to help us, to sustain us, to give us the energy and the focus. If we call on his help, we can utilize that. He can help us to be effective and finish strong. You do your best and he'll do the rest. And finally, Galatians 6:9. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Part of the reason we call the church Harvest Church is because we want to reap. We want to reap into our own lives God's blessings, but we also want to reap souls, salvations, other people in the world around us. How does that fit into your plan, into your success, your determination in life? Are you reaping God's blessings into your life? Are you sharing God and his salvation, the good news of salvation, with others? That's true success. I hope so, and I pray for that. As the music team comes up, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. I ask that you would give us focus, give us single-minded focus, that we would look to you for direction, for guidance in life, that we would focus on what lies ahead, that we would not turn back and think about the past, the failures or successes in the past. Lord, help us to stay strong and move forward and to stay focused on you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.